right. No intro video. All right. Well, hey, welcome to Active. This is my prop. You'll see why I have a golf club in a little bit. I actually can swing it. I don't ever hit this club. I actually don't like this club. It's my 3-wood. And so I cannot hit it very well. But we're in a series called Psalm 23. How many of you guys have been enjoying the series so far? You can lie and say yeah if you haven't. It's okay. Those are sins God doesn't care about. Just joking. Someone's like, wait a minute. Don't fact check me. So we're in a series right now, and I'm excited. But before we jump in, I want to kind of give you guys a heads up, some housekeeping stuff. We got some restrooms right over to the right of the welcome tent. So if you look over there, there's some restrooms, really nice. They're way better than the Fremonts. Guys, there's not a trough to go in the bathroom at the Fremont, okay? That's just awkward. Yeah, girls are like, what? Just ask your husband. Ask a guy. We have bathrooms over there. And then also, really cool thing, they're actually, so this venue is making themselves, they pretty much opened up the entire venue to us. And I just want to give it up for Avila Beach Golf Resort. Katie, if you're listening, thank you so much. Katie said, hey, if Mulligan's, which is the restaurant, if we see an uptick in sales, we might give you a break on the rent for this venue. So please, I'm praying that we go patron and get yourself some tri-tip tacos afterwards. Get yourself a patty meltzer. Just get something. Get some French fries. How many of you guys just love me? You just eat French fries any meal. Like, it doesn't matter. Breakfast, French fries, right? We just made up a new food, breakfast fries. Just get something, and it'll help for everybody. It'll be great for your belly and for us. So, are we good on that? Okay, cool. Mulligan's. Go sponsor that. Or we sponsor that. So that's a little plug for them. It's 10:25. I'm just going to jump in right into the sermon. We're going to go ahead and jump right in. We're in Psalm 23. We do this every, twice a year. We take a section of scripture and we do an expository teaching. Now, I taught you what that was the first couple of weeks. An expository message is a message that's done verse by verse. So typically I teach a topical series, which topical, you take one idea and then you have a bunch of verses that you talk about that supports that idea. It's how Jesus taught, and I think it's a pretty good way. So we usually do about majority of our series are topical. Now, expository messages are different. Expository messages are one verse or one section of scripture, and you unpack multiple ideas out of that. And so we're taking Psalm 23, which is probably one of the most amazing pieces of literature ever written, regardless of whether or not you believe it's the inspired word of God. And we're going to be going through this verse. So we've been doing that for the last few weeks. And today, Facebook family, we're going to be in Psalm 23. So get your smartphones out. The verses will be on the screen. And if you can't see it here, I'll just trust that you're not on Instagram, that you're on your Bible app, YouVersion Bible. So get out your Bibles or your Bible app. So real quick, context is important. Because how many of you guys have ever heard like a preacher misquote or like preach a sermon and you're like, I don't think that's actually what it meant. You're like, I think it means something for Israel. And I've been guilty of that. I'll like watch my old sermons. I'm like, oh man, I should have done a little more research on that verse. I'll preach something and it's kind of a stretch. But what we're talking about today is I want to look at the context of what was going on in Psalm 23. Because if you don't know, the Bible is written, there's 66 different books in the Bible, written by, inspired by God, but written by man. And this particular psalm was written by a guy named King David. All right, you're tracking with me. Okay, David was a guy who was a shepherd. He fought a big giant. He was 9 foot tall. His name was Goliath. You guys paid attention in Sunday school. So what we have here is we have this man named David. He was a king over Israel, and he basically wrote this in a season that was filled with anxiety and unknown. How many of you felt a little bit anxious in this season? The context for this, the purpose rather for Psalm 23, is that it positions us to have strength in the midst of the struggle. How many of you guys know, like, a soldier trains to fight in a battle? That the strength that the soldier has isn't just, he doesn't just want to get ripped and post Instagram photos or girls. It's not, he's not just out there working out so he can look good. That a soldier trains for when the battle comes, he's ready. A soldier trains because when things go down, you want to make sure that you're ready for the fight. How many of you guys have felt like you've been fighting for some peace in this season? Three of you. Thanks, Mom. Just joking. My mom's not here. My mother-in-law's here. My mom's watching online. Love you, Mom. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I want to read this verse to you guys, then we're going to unpack a little bit. I'm going to be in verse number 3, and we're going to go through that, and then I'm going to give you some practical help on how to get where you want to go. So here's what Psalm 23 says. I'll read the whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is From Here to There. From Here to There. God wants to get you from here to there. Tap your neighbor and say, to there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this beautiful venue. Thank you for the beautiful weather. God, thank you for every single person that got in the car this morning. They made it out to Avila Beach. They got the kids ready, or they brushed their hair, hopefully, and they brushed their teeth, and they came out here, Lord, expecting to not hear from a person, but to meet with you, God, to worship you, Jesus. So, Lord, would you speak to people this morning? Use me as a vessel. Holy Spirit, take over, Lord. This is your time. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. So, I grew up in Bakersfield, California. That's right, Bakersfield. If you don't know about Bakersfield, it's a wonderful place to be from. Everyone's from somewhere. And in high school, I went to Stockdale High School, graduated in class of 01. And I remember there was always these guys. I grew up in this like little suburb area, Southwest, the Oaks. And I rode my bike, I rollerbladed, I skateboarded. Like that was my outdoor fun. I didn't have like a farm. I didn't grow up, you know, there's lots of agriculture. There's lots of people that do farm and do have, you know, all sorts of livestock. But the only interaction I had with livestock was going to the good old Kern County Fair. Come on, somebody. And you guys don't know, Mid-State Fair, okay, yes, you have like big music acts. We had corn dogs. We had funnel cakes, y'all. We had deep fried Oreos with the smell of cow manure in the background lingering in the air. It's 108 degrees and your mom and dad are like, we're going to the fair. And you're outside for like 4 or 5 hours walking through this cow manure filled air. And you haven't lived until you've been to the Kern County Fair, guys. It's amazing. And I remember one time going and I never forget, I saw a live calf being born. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I was terrified as a child seeing this happen. But I remember seeing the sheep, and you kind of go, and they all have these really nice sheep, and they're like beautiful. They're beautiful. And the 4-H people are there, and you're like, I think I know that kid from school. And it's just an amazing thing to see these beautiful animals. But here's the reality. God talks about sheep a lot. Like you and I, he compares you and I to sheep a lot. So I remember seeing this sheep when I was younger, and I don't know much about sheep, so I've been reading about sheep. I've been in this series, I've been learning about sheep. And can I share some sheep info with you guys? Is that cool? Okay, cool. I'm going to tell you anyway, so just nod your head. Okay. Sheep information. Did you know that sheep will actually, if they were just to, you were to leave a sheep on this piece of grass right here, if you didn't do anything, just let them eat, you know what they would do? These white sheep would just come out and they'd eat and eat and eat and eat. And eventually they would eat through the root system and there would be nothing but a huge pile of dirt in this area. So a shepherd has to take sheep from one pasture to another. So you're learning already. So he would take them and say, okay, eat over here, because if they ate too much and left to themselves, the sheep would overeat and eventually eat everything, and there'd be no sustenance to grow back, and therefore they wouldn't have any way of getting fed. Now, here's the reality. If they got dirty, if you know anything about sheep, they're now modern day, even back then, and back in the day, 1,000 years before Christ, a sheep would be sold, his wool would be sold, and the quality of the wool determined the cost of the wool. So the dirtier it was, the less money. The whiter it was, the more money. You guys tracking with me? Okay, so here's the reality. I want to tell you something today. The health, you can write this down, this is a quotable. The health of a sheep is a representation of the shepherd. It's, let me rephrase it, like, the crazier your kids act, the quality of your marriage, the quality of your family life is a representation of really the amount of investment you put into that thing, right? Your employees, if you're an employer, your coworkers, the culture that you surround yourself with is a representation of how you're impacting and taking responsibility for the things around you. And so in this case, the sheep, if they're unhealthy, it shows you that a shepherd just doesn't care. Can I tell you something this morning? Aren't you glad we have a good shepherd? Aren't you glad that your shepherd cares about you? Aren't you glad that your shepherd is there for you? Here's the reality. I want to tell you today. God wants to help you get from here to there. And he wants to help you practically speaking. I want to show you but here's what happens. The Bible mentions the phrase in Christ. I forget how many times. It's hundreds of times. In Christ. But here's the reality. A shepherd can't lead you if you're not willing to follow. You can't. You can't force. See, if we're not willing to say there's a good shepherd that actually wants something for my life, then what happens is we end up missing out. Check out what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, I'm going to say therefore. If you look at the Bible and there's a therefore, my pastor used to always say, you got to ask what it's there for. Therefore, if anyone, watch this, is in Christ, what happens? If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If you are in Christ today, I got good news for you. The new has come. And you're like, well, I still do those things that I don't want to do. It's totally normal. Even Paul did, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Here's the reality check. Whether or not you believe something, that the having faith to believe it is one thing. But having faith for the process is another. I want to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's word, get from here to there. Get from where you're at right now to where God wants you to be. I'm going to give you 3 keys this morning. So if you're taking notes, get it out. Number one is this. First key, your habits determine your lifestyle. You know this. Your habits determine how you live, determine your impact. Your intentions may be one thing, but your impact is another. So let me read to you out of Isaiah 53. Verse 6 says this, we all, I'm going to say all, like sheep, there it is again, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. In other words, God's like, here's a path. And we're like, that's cool. And we're like, what's over here? You know? It's like, I know where the hole is. I want to hit my ball at that hole. But sometimes when I'm golfing, I go astray. I need lessons. Listen. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. What I found is this, we've all got habits, some good, some bad. How many of you guys would agree you got some good habits and some bad habits? Yeah, okay. I got some bad habits. I got some good habits too, but I have a really bad habit that I'm working on in 2020 because my wife keeps complaining. I throw my towel after I get out of the shower. I'll like get my clothes on, and my towel doesn't always end up back on the hook in the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about? Like it lands on the ground, and my wife gets mad at me every single time. She's like, "So I'm actually getting better, babe. I'm doing my best. I'm putting it back on the hook most of the time." Okay. You have bad habits too. I know you do. Here's another one. When I'm getting ice out of the fridge, it's not a refrigerator. It's called the fridge or the refrigerator. It's always said in Bakersfield. I get the ice and it's got to be cubed ice. Get out of here with the crushed ice. Come on. Let me go first if you're going to get the crushed, okay? Because then I get all your crushed residue in my cubes. Someone's like, preach. I'm preaching ice cubes. And here's what I do. If ice falls on the kitchen floor, do I bend down and grab that ice cube and throw it in the sink like I should? Nope. Give it a little tap, little foot tap, right under the fridge. That's how I live my life. Don't judge me. If you're the one that bends down and gets it, like, I'm judging you, okay? I remember we also have some bad habits, though. I was going to tell my wife's bad habits, but I didn't get her permission, so I won't say that. Because I love my wife, and I want to have a good marriage. Here's some bad habits you might have. Starting your day off with every intention to get in that Bible app, but instead you go right to the Instagram, right to the Twitter feed, right to the Facebook, and you start feeding off your soul. Is the first thing you're looking at is Instagram or social media. That's a bad habit. I'm not. Can I be honest? I've been there. I try not to, but I get sucked in sometimes. Or what about this? Instead of opening your Bible, you just go straight to the news. What happened last night? Where are we at? And what happens is if you start doing this over and over and over, what happens is eventually your bad habits determine your lifestyle. Am I talking to anyone this morning? So here's what we need to do. Why do we have habits? Here's why. They're easy. Did you know your brain is hardwired for pleasure and avoiding painful things? Like you're legitimately, your body, your brain says when you have like a French fry for the first time, your brain's like, don't ever forget this. Go back to Firestone, have more French fries. The first time you had a candy bar, or you give a kid a piece of candy. They know their brain actually has a hardwire. Like when I go to grandma's house, I get candy. So your brain's always looking for pleasure and it's always avoiding pain. But here's the reality. Habits, if you were just to live your life like that, it would leave you in a bad place. And what happens is this. You can write this down. Our desire to be comfortable is at odds, Lily, with God's desire for us to be righteous. Let me say it again. Our desire to be comfortable is at odds with God's desire for us to be righteous. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy, his protege. And he's like encouraging him. He's like, hey, I know you're overseeing the church. I know there's a lot going on. I need to let you know something. And he says this. He says, Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth. He doesn't say like, hey, watch out. Hey, bro, there's a couple things. No, he says flee. What does that mean? It means run, like bounce, dip, make a run for it. Get out of there. If when things come into your life that God's like, I have something better for you. He's saying there's going to be desires that come out of you that aren't my plan. He says, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who can call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Speaking of running, I did a Spartan race 5 years ago. Anyone ever do one of these? Yeah. If you don't know what it is, I'll tell you. It's basically imagine just like running in mud and jumping through fire for like nine miles. Takes you hours to complete, unless you're like some crazy fit guy and maybe you did like less than an hour. But it's literally just the worst thing you've ever imagined. It's you're running. I remember I was at mile 7 and I did it with my life group back in Vegas when we lived in Vegas. And I remember everyone was doing good. A couple guys were like, oh, I'll catch up with you. I was like feeling good. I was like, man, best shape of my life. Mile 7, never forget, cramps. Like imagine a Charlie horse, like that hurt all over you, all over your body. I did something wrong. I drank too much water. And if you overhydrate, you can actually, the salinity in your body runs out and you start cramping. And I'll never forget, I was so uncomfortable. I mean, I was literally, I could not move my legs. I was like walking, I was like, oh, this hurts so bad. And I'll never forget, my buddy kept going. Joel's like, dude, you want me to wait up for you? I'm like, no, keep going. Thinking he's going to go, no, I'll stay with you. He's like, okay. And he keeps going. I'll never forget that, Joel. If you're watching from Vegas, I love you, bro. But I remember there's a safety guy there. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there. There's people watching you like, you got it. And I'm like, I hate you. And I'm running. And this guy walks up to me. So, oh, hey, okay. I was ready to go for it. I was like, oh, let me warm up. I'm not hearing it. Okay. So there I am. It's 2015, Spartan race. Okay. I'm sitting there in agony, and I'm like, I can't stop, because if I stop, I'm not going to be able to get back up. So I just keep going. It's like, just keep swimming, right? I'm just keep going, just keep going. And I'm there, and this dude walks up to me. He's total, like, Spartan bro. He's like, what's up? Drank too much water, huh? I'm like, how did he know? Are you an angel? And he's like, he goes, this is kind of weird. And he pulls out a bottle of mustard. And he's like, open your mouth. And I'm like, this is awkward. This got weird. And he's like, trust me. And he grabs this bottle of mustard and he squirts this mustard into my mouth. Like a, and I gut it. He's like, that will help. And I'm like, dude, it hurts so bad. And he goes, just embrace the pain. I was like, I hate this pain. I want the pain to go away. And he walks off. I'm like, was that my guardian angel? What was that? And I just sat there, and I was like trying to walk, and I'm making my way. I got 2 more miles to go. I still got the rope climb. I still got to do burpees. And I'm like, embrace the pain. Some of you want your life to be so comfortable that there's no pain. Can I tell you something, church? You can either have comfort or you can have growth, but you can't have both. You can either be uncomfortable for a season now and go through the pain of getting from where you want to be, because what got you here won't get you there. You can either go through the pain of changing now or be forced to change later on, and it's going to hurt a lot more later when it's not in your control. What am I saying, church? What am I saying? I'm saying you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You need to wake up and go, I need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Is that not a 2020 slogan right there? I need to be comfortable being uncomfortable if I want to grow my walk with God. Why? Because if I left myself to whatever desire I have, I'm not going to end up where God wants me. Your finances will not be where you want them to be if you just let your finances go. Your marriage will not be there. Your kids will not be there. Your education, whatever it is you're trying to build, does not accidentally get into alignment. No one ever said, man, I just accidentally got a six-pack. What the heck? What is going on here? Abs are made in what? In the kitchen. You got to start eating kale salads and stuff. No thanks. Abel, save it for you, bro. Jesus didn't operate like this either. Think about comfort. Was Jesus a comfortable life? No, dude. He didn't seek comfort. He served. He didn't just say, I want to sit back and be served. I'm the king of the world. Do you know who I am? My name is Jesus. I'm the Son of God. Go get me something to drink. I'm going to kick back. Like, Judas, I'm watching you. You know, like, he didn't just kick it. He served people. As a matter of fact, Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve. Jesus was, ultimately, his whole life was designed to be an offering, to be poured out so that you and I, aren't you glad that your Savior didn't just say the cross? Nah, forget about that. He looked at our sin. He looked at you and I and said, I love you so much. I'm going to go up on a cross and I'm going to remove your sin. That's how good I am. If you ever wonder how much God loves you, he loves you this much. 2 nails, one in each hand, hung up on a cross, because he came to be a ransom for it for many. Aren't you, can we just give God some praise real quick? Aren't you glad that he did it for you and I? So here's the reality. Your lifestyle reflects the God that you follow or that you don't follow God. Point number 2 is this. Your shepherd will reveal your steps. Jeremiah said it like this, Jeremiah 56. He says, my people have been lost sheep. Have you ever been lost? My sister and I got lost in Compton one time. No joke, I promise you. She was 19, I was 16. We were driving to San Diego to meet a friend from Bakersfield, and we were like, let's go to San Diego. I can't believe my parents let us go. In her 1995 Toyota Celica. And we took a right, and we should take a left, and we ended up in Watts Boulevard at 10 o'clock at night. Woke up quick, about noon. No, I'm just going to quote some Eazy-E. Some of us are lost today. And I know it's like a super churchy, like, y'all are lost. No, I'm not talking like, you know God, but you're lost. Like, you've known him here, but you lost him here. Like, some of us have mentally ascended to God a long time ago. It's like God wants to take us, he wants to get us from here to there. Like the 18-inch journey from mentally knowing what Jesus has done. Some of us, we know what God did for us, and we could quote all the VBS stuff that we learned. We know about Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. He saved me from my sins. What's next? That hasn't really worked out for me. It's kind of cool, but you know, whatever. It's just kind of a checkbox. I'm telling you guys, listen, God wants to get you back to where you need to be. Some of you are here this morning, and you're like, I didn't even know that God was going to speak to me, and God's already convicting you. Like, the Holy Spirit's working. There's some things that you got to get rid of, some things you got to lay down. And here's what Jeremiah goes on to say. My people have been lost. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountains and hills, and they forgot their own resting place. It's like you forgot your first love. Like, remember, like, when you first started walking with Jesus? Remember how, like, you would get excited to read your Bible? And some of us are still there, but some of us, if we're honest, we're like, I don't feel God. And I know it's not about a feeling, but some of us, we really do feel like there's distance between us and our shepherd. And I got good news for you. Some of you today, this is my staff. I have my 3-wood in my car. This is my stat. God's saying, come back. See, when a sheep would start going astray, you know what a good shepherd would do? Bonk. Don't do that. I'm not going to hit you. Don't worry. She's like, this is scary. He would say, there's wolves over there. There's people that's going to hurt you. Bonk. Don't do that. And the sheep would go, oh, my. I'm so grateful that the shepherd bonks me on the head sometimes. He's like, don't be doing that. Don't look at that. Don't think about that. Don't retweet that. Don't share that. Bonk, 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 bonk. What does a good shepherd do? He leads me. He knows where he wants me. See, a good shepherd already knows the path. He doesn't wonder like, well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. He's like, nope, I'm going to take him over there, and they're going to eat today. God wants to lead us. I'm going to put this down. God wants to lead us. So let me ask you a very simple question this morning as we close here in a few minutes. Keys can come up because we're going to start landing this plane slowly. Who are you following? Like, who's your shepherd? Can I tell you something? I made a very lousy shepherd for myself. I still do. Because there's times where I just want to like, Jesus, take the wheel. No, give it back. I got the wheel. My wheel. Get away, right? You know, I was looking at the internet because that's where you research sermon stuff. And there was a picture of a hill where the shepherd would come and the shepherds let their sheep roam on these hillsides. And what happens is there's all these ruts that are carved out on the hillside, tons of them. Because these shepherds, they go to the same pastures. All these shepherds, they let their sheep hang out together, and they just rut it up. They're just kind of walking away. And here's the reality. The world is full of ruts. There's some paths that seem right to you because everyone else is doing it. That's how they talk. That's how they say it. That's what they say. There's some things in our lives that if we're not careful, we'll forget about the path of right living. The Bible calls it righteousness, and it's such a heavy sounding word, but you want to know what it really is? It's a better way. Righteousness is literally just, it does two things. It honors God, and it actually helps you live with fewer regrets. I just know from my own personal story, I used to have a lot of regrets. I have less of them now. I just wonder if anyone here is maybe dealing with some regrets today. Worship team, you can come up. Paulino, let's pause on that real quick. I feel like I got to share something real quick. Some of you, there's a path carved out for you right now. And just because that path is carved out, it doesn't mean that it's going to lead you where you want to go. I'm just encouraging you. You're like, well, it's easy. I know it's easy. It's always easier. The path that's carved out, it's the rut. It's the rut that God may be saying, don't go there anymore. Come back. I got you. I got a better way. And you keep going down that same rut. Listen to me. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself, watch this, goes before you. He's not like, he's not wondering what to do with you. He's got you where he wants you today. And he wants to say, hey, I know you've been, hey, bunk. I know you've been DMing people. Hey, I know you started dating that guy. He's got no job. Stop it, bunk. He needs a J-O-B if you want to be with me, right? Some of you girls like, yeah, tag your best friend that's doing that right now in the comment section below. Don't do that. He goes before you and he'll be with you. How many of you are grateful that God is with you no matter what's going on in the world? Amen. You'll never be satisfied in the in-between, though. See, the only way this whole faith things work, this faith thing works, is you got to go all in. It's like being in between, it's no fun. Being stuck on the fence, like fence dwelling, I call it, you're kind of just balancing on both sides. You have enough of like your old life to be miserable at church, or you just don't go because you're like, oh, I don't want to hear it. And you have enough of God to be miserable with those old friends. You ever been there? You're like, where do I fit in? I got good news for you. The shepherd saying, good morning, how you doing? You want to follow me today? Hey, good morning, how you doing? I'm here for you. I haven't left. I've been right here the whole time. Some of you today need to get back on God's path, and I'm not here to tell you, wag my finger. This is a me too. It's a daily battle for me. I wake up and I go, God, I need you today so that I can be on the right path. Am I speaking to anybody? I need you today so I can say no to those things that are going to be life-stealing, so that I can say yes to get into my word and be in a life-giving posture to know that my God has great plans for me. This is my final point. If you're taking notes, number three, the third key, it takes faith to follow. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. It takes faith. It's like, I can't get to where I want to go, but I can take a next step. At Active Church, we're all about helping people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. That's what we want for you. That's our vision. What's your next step? For some of you today, I'm going to give you a chance. It's to receive the forgiveness that the shepherd has already poured out for you 2,000 years ago on the cross. For others, it's, hey, I need to get in a group. I need some guys. I need some girls. I need some couples to surround our marriage. We need prayer, accountability. We need to be in one of those life groups. For others, it's getting baptized, like making a public declaration saying, I don't care who knows it. I love God. I love Jesus. I'm getting dunked. It's an outward expression of an inward heart change. And for some of us today, it's to say, God, give me faith to follow your plan, not my plan anymore. Because I'm sick of living with these regrets. I'm sick of going back to those silly things that I keep going back to. I need faith to follow this morning. Faith is like putting on a parachute. I jumped out of an airplane once for the At the Movie series, which, by the way, we're going to be doing in the fall. It's going to be great. And I met this guy named Wolfie. Wolfie's from England, and he was my flight instructor. Anytime you have a parachute instructor named Wolfie, you should be alarmed. I said, Wolfie, have you done this a few times? Once or twice? He's a funny guy. I trusted Wolfie's expertise to jump out of a plane. I strapped myself to Wolfie, and then we strapped ourselves to a big parachute with a backup one. But here's the reality. If I just simply have faith in the parachute, but I don't actually pull the ripcord, well, I'm going to meet Jesus a lot sooner. Some of us have our faith, and it's like real shiny. It's like that Bible your grandma got you for your graduation, and it's still crispy and clean. And we have our faith, and it's really, some of you like low-key shame, sorry. Your faith is like on the shelf, and you're like, yep, there it is. And God's like, dude, I need you to use that thing. I need you to get your faith dirty. I need you to actually to exercise, to work out your faith. I need you to step up. I need you to start serving. I want you to start being a part of what I want to do on this earth, because how many of you know the world wants to lead us to fear? And if you watch enough, you take enough dosage of mainstream media, enough social media, enough whatever, you're going to feel like your fear of missing out, your fear that the world's end, your fear of everything. But God wants to tell you this morning, it takes faith to follow him, because when you follow the good shepherd, there's peace. Peace comes into my life when I'm connected to God. Do my problems go away magically? Do little baby angels, little chubby baby angels with wings fly down and put millions of dollars in my bank account? No. Do all my problems go away when I say yes to Jesus? No, but here's what happens. God begins to work in my life, and out of the pressing, out of the stress, out of the God going, God, I need you. What comes out of me is, man, my faith is built up. My life is set apart, and all of a sudden my faith is strengthened. We're starting at 21 days of prayer next week. It's going to be really fun. Every day you'll get a, see on social media, a different prayer focus. You'll get an email. 21 days in a row, we're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to believe God's going to build our faith in this season. Because prayer, it starts with prayer. Prayer is a conversation. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, Jesus says. They hear me. They know my voice. I'm going to challenge you in this season, not just to talk to God, but listen to God. Some of us have, we go into, it's like a conversation with someone. How many of you guys like the conversations where they don't listen to you? We need to have a dialogue with God every single day. So we need to learn to listen for God's voice. And today, I want to encourage you to do this as we close. Trust God. Trust God in this season. Trust your shepherd. What's trust? Trust simply means to release control. What does that do? In this season, it means to trust God for his protection. He's got you, guys. Don't lose hope. God's got you. Trust his protection. Two, it means to trust his provision. God, some of you guys are in a financial place. You're like, man, this is hard. Trust God. He's going to take care of all your needs. And finally, trust his plan. It's not your plan. It's God's plan. The Bible says, commit your way to the Lord and trust him. He will act. I wondered this morning as I was preparing for this, I wondered, like, who would be here that maybe feels like they've been wandering? You know, Jesus says, he says the kingdom, he's trying to explain what God's like. And he says, it's like this guy is a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep. And he counts all his sheep one day, and he's like, there's one that's missing. 99, where's the 100? I had one more. And it's so crazy. The shepherd doesn't go, well, I'm glad I got 99. At least, I mean, that's almost 100. Didn't do that, does he? The shepherd, what he does, he counts that, he goes, I had 100, I have 99, one's gone. The shepherd doesn't leave that one behind. The shepherd leaves the 99. And he goes after the one. Let me ask you this. Who's the one in your life? Who's the one that was here but now is not? You need to go after them. And maybe, just maybe, you're here today and you're like, I'm the one. I'm that one. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. I'm here to tell you, God wants to get you from here to there. He wants to grab his staff and go, hey, I need you back. My plan is not done with you. You're saying, I messed it up. No, God's saying, I got better plans for you. I got a plan to prosper you. I got plans to take care of you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. My God doesn't leave people behind, and he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. My God will come back and he'll look for you. He'll beat down the doors. He'll climb over every single mountain. There's nothing in this world that will make God not want to come after you, because he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I want to praise our God. Let's worship our King. Let's worship out loud. Come on.